Fantastic. So good morning, welcome. Especially good to see any Arsenal fans here today. Bless you, bless you. I've got a letter here from Al and Ali, who were the pastors here for a number of years, and they wanted to send me an email. They sent me an email. This is a couple of weeks old, okay, so just need to update it a little bit. But they wanted just to share where they are and to say thank you. So I'll just read this out. It says, "Dear all at Farnham Vineyard, well, it has been 5 weeks since we last appeared among you. This is to say a very big thank you for your kind and generous gift to us. Our prayer is that God will prosper you all in every way, variously and wonderfully, as you continue in his kingdom. We have been warmly welcomed to our new church, which is just over the border in Hampshire. God is changing lives there, and we're excited to be a part of it. Other interesting opportunities are opening up, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do with us. I've discovered a lovely prayer that might be relevant to you, to your life and ministry at Farnham Vineyard. Compassionate God, as you know each star you have created, so you know the secrets of every heart. In your loving mercy, bring to your table all who are fearful and broken, all who are wounded and needy, that our hungers may be satisfied in the city of your presence, through Christ who is our peace. Amen." We'd love to see anyone that cares to keep in touch. Joe has our email address and telephone numbers in the office. This comes with our prayers and our love. May God keep you in his peace, Alistair and Alison. So that's for us as a church. So this morning, I want to just press pause on the current series we've been doing. We've been doing a series on the parables for a few weeks now. I want to press pause on that and to give you an update from the National Leaders Conference that we went to a couple of weeks ago up in Nottingham, and also to speak more about the fast that Esther mentioned earlier. So the conference happens in Nottingham at Trent Vineyard. They've been hosting it for 2 or 3 years now. And there are about 1,500 or so of us there, worshipping and fellowshipping and ministering to each other and just having an amazing time. And honestly, it's the highlight of my year. And I know Esther enjoyed it too, because she started talking about booking up the hotel for next year already. So they always have amazing speakers. And the thing that I love, we get to hear about all the stuff that's going on in the vineyard, and there's 100 or so churches in the movement. And we get to see all the things that God's doing and hear the wonderful stories. And John Wright, who leads Trent Vineyard with his wife Debbie, was speaking on the first night, and he was just sharing dozens of stories, literally dozens of stories of churches across the country, vineyard churches, and how they're seeing God move and the things that's happening. And it's so exciting to see that God is alive and well and things that are happening. But the thing I really love about the conference is that they always invite guest speakers in from outside the vineyard to come and speak. And I think this is really special, really precious, because we're a small movement and they have these people coming in. And last year they had Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury. We had John Sentimer a few years ago. And we just have just brilliant speakers. Mike Pilavarci last year. And this year we had Simon Ponsonby. Now, Simon Ponsonby is an Anglican minister from Oxford. He speaks at, he's ministers at St. Aldate's in Oxford. And he's a wonderful guy. He's a big bloke, big butch guy. He's a great theologian. He's an author. And he used to be a butcher. And as he stands there preaching, you can imagine him with his overalls on, covered in blood, because he's a real man's man kind of guy. He's a really funny bloke. And I just loved listening to him speak. But when he got up this time, his disposition was a little bit different. He's always a bit inappropriate and just goes a little bit far. And I kind of like that in a speaker. But this time, when he got up to speak, he was almost melancholy. He was almost hesitant with the word that he had. And he said that he'd given out to tender to the leaders, the vineyard leaders, to say, "Do you think this is really something I should speak on?" And they said, "Yeah, go for it." So he spoke on Psalm 93, verse 5. He said, he reads, "Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord." And the word he had on his heart for us as a movement was about holiness, was about purity. And then he went on to speak from Joshua 3, verse 5. "Consecrate yourselves, says the Lord, for tomorrow I will do amazing things." Now, if you've been in this church for any length of time, as you know from me reading that email out from Al and Ali, we've had some changes. We've had some big changes as a church. People have been talking about it being a new day, a new season. I spoke at the beginning of the year, do you remember, about it being a new volume. And there seems to be a level of expectancy, a level of excitement. And I've heard from many of you that share this. It's not just us that share this. But I've heard from many of you that say, I just feel God's on the move. I feel there's something happening. God's doing something new. There's an excitement and an expectancy, sensing that God's doing something. And so for me, Simon's message really resonated. As we're approaching this new season, we've just started it, but I feel God saying something's going to happen. I sense him saying, I'm going to move. And I know a number of you have been saying this too. So on the 5th of January, I received a text from a guy who I consider to be prophetic, who I consider to hear from God in a really special way. And this guy sent me this text, and it was just completely out of the blue. It was on the 5th of January. It was about 4:30 in the afternoon. And he said that he felt God said for us as a church that we were to have a three-day fast, and that each person in the church was to decide themselves what it is that they were going to fast. Maybe it's a meal a day, or maybe it's all your food, or like Esther said, maybe it's media, or whatever it is. But that we as a church were to engage in a three-day fast. He then went on to say, the measure of those 3 days seeking will be the measure of glory return. So we shared this with the leadership team. We spoke about this and we all thought, yeah, that sounds like God. That sounds like God speaking. So we were excited to put it into the diary, and it's starting tomorrow. Consecrate yourselves, Farnham Vineyard. For tomorrow I will do amazing things. So there were three things that makes me excited. Three things that I think are significant for us as a church. Firstly, there's just this general sense, like I've mentioned, for many of us that God is moving, that something is going to happen, that God is about to do something new amongst us. Then there's this prophetic word that we get, which I think is really exciting. And then Simon speaking on consecration. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow I will do amazing things. So what does it mean to be consecrated? Well, you'll be pleased to know it's very different to circumcision. Consecration is entirely different. It means to separate oneself from the things in your life that might contaminate your relationship with God. God says, be holy, for I am holy. It means to be different, to be set apart. It's a bit like your grand's finest china. You know, that's set apart, isn't it? It's set apart for a special purpose. It's there on the dresser, and it's never used. And it's pristine, and it's beautiful. It does the same job as the other china, but it's special. It's set apart. God's saying, be different. Be set apart for me. He's calling us to holiness, to purity. And Simon reminded us that consecration comes before visitation. I think that's really important. Consecrate yourselves and he will come. He will do amazing things. This is a word that God spoke to Joshua. And he spoke to the Israelites through Joshua and he said, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow I will do amazing things. They consecrated themselves. They set themselves apart. They cleaned their act up. They got rid of the things in their life that was contaminating their relationship with God. And then the following day, they crossed the River Jordan on dry land. God did amazing things. So I'm so excited about this. But I feel God's calling me and us to a deeper level of intimacy. A deeper level of pursuit for him. A deeper hunger for God. You know, I sense, and I'm not just trying to be poetic here, but I sense that God is literally just hiding around the corner. I sense he's calling us and saying, come and find me. Come and find me. Because he wants us to look for him. He wants us to pursue him. We've been looking at the kingdom of God, haven't we, in the last few weeks in the parables. And one of the mysteries is that the kingdom is here, but it can be missed. The kingdom is here right now, but it's not always obvious. You have to look for it. Sometimes it's hidden. You have to push in and pursue God. He wants to be found. And he won't force himself upon us either. He will not force himself upon us. But I sense he's just hiding. I sense he's saying, come and find me. Come and find me. He wants us to want him more. You know, that's a great prayer. If you're struggling with this, just on your own, just say to God, I want to want you more. Because he will fan that flame. It's not about us doing it in our own strength. We need to hunger and thirst for him. Has anyone got this sense inside them that they're just hungry, just more hungry for God's presence? Is there anyone sensing that? Or is it just me? I just feel him calling me, beckoning me, wooing me to be in his presence. Because nothing else matters. Everything else is just so mundane. He's saying, I want you to want me more. Now, I love being in a church where we can say to people, come as you are. Just come as you are. Just as you are, come. I did a communion lesson at Waden School on Wednesday. And it was so great to be there. I was invited there as a minister, as a church leader. And I was just in a pair of jeans and an old hoodie. And I was just saying to the guys, you know, we do church in these kind of clothes. So you can come to church just as you are. But the important thing to remember is, you come as you are, but you don't stay as you are. Because there's no love in there, is there? If we say to people, come as you are and just stay the same, there's no love in that. But we're challenging people to become not like us. We don't want clones. You know, I'm praying for multicultural church here in Farnham. I'm praying for diversity here in Farnham. We're saying, come as you are, but don't stay as you are. Come and change. Come and be more like Jesus. Because as we meet with him, as we spend time with him, as we're in his presence, our lives become different. And Simon says, and I love this, God doesn't want a grubby bride. God does not want a grubby bride. He wants a beautiful, pristine bride. Can you imagine going to a wedding and seeing a bride that's just trowed her makeup on and got her hair all over the place and her dress is filthy, and see if you, nodding, you're going to be in trouble later. God doesn't want a grubby bride. He wants a beautiful, pristine bride. The kingdom doesn't naturally occur in our lives. You have to work at it. You have to